You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Our next story, we speak to Karen Osborne, the Chief Executive of Te Hiringa Mahara, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, about the rollout of the Access and Choice Report that was published today. This comes after last week, the head of the Mental Health Foundation said that Labor's promised $2 billion transformation of mental health care is failing and needs to urgently be rethought. This also comes after a survey revealed that alarming findings about stress about young adults is still quite prevalent. Here is that interview now.
In the past year, 73% of young people in Aotearoa have felt stressed to the point that they felt like they could not cope. Why do you think 18 to 34-year-olds in particular are facing a mental health crisis?
So we've heard from young people, and others have heard as well, that they're concerned about the future, they're concerned about climate change, the economy, such as having good housing, and the impact of social media and connectedness with family and friends. So there's a complex range of factors that are being seen here in New Zealand and also in many other countries. And we know that COVID has had an impact on our young people. A critical time in terms of their own sort of development and time in their lives. So, you know, it's a range of factors that have contributed.
Despite these statistics and despite most people seeing mental health as important, the report shows New Zealanders don't think the health system prioritises their mental well-being. Why do you believe people feel this way?
We've heard from many people long-standing concerns, so it's over a number of years, about our mental health system and people not being able to access the services and supports when they need them. So I think that has contributed to that perception about the system not prioritising mental health to the level that physical health is prioritised. Now, we've released a report today into the Access and Choice program. So that's a program that's intended to increase the services for people who have mild to moderate distress. And we know that when people are able to access those services, they're appreciated. What we've also found is that the services aren't as well known as they could be. And so we've called in for more information to be available about the services that people can now access. What we'd also say is that mental wellbeing for young people needs a joined up approach. It's more than just a health system issue. It's a whole of society, whole of system issue. And so we also need to have actions that will address those wider factors that contribute to mental wellbeing so that young people have hope for the future, because we know that a sense of not having hope contributes to distress and feelings about the future.
Now, what barriers are currently preventing people from accessing help?
Well, look, as I just said, we have heard from people that many people don't know about the range of services that are available, so that can be a barrier. But we also know there are a really wide range of services. The Access and Choice program, both the youth-focused program, but also we know that young people are accessing all of the streams, so the primary care stream and Kaupapa Māori and Pacific services. So, getting more information about what is available for this program, but also digital and online supports. We know that for some people, accessing primary care cost could be a barrier. But what we do think is positive is that there is a much wider range of services that are now available to people.
The survey shows some positive results, though, around how often New Zealanders think about their mental health and their increasing willingness to ask for help from family, friends and professionals. What do you think has contributed to this change?
Look, I think we're seeing a change in culture across Aotearoa. So there's been media campaigns, public health campaigns that are really focused on supporting people to speak up about mental health, about distress. So I think there's a greater awareness of mental health and distress. So that's a really positive thing. So we're seeing much more of those conversations and conversations about the impact of factors such as the economy or climate change, COVID, in terms of people's mental health and wellbeing. So what we do know also is that when services and supports are designed for young people, then they're more likely to have an impact. So there's a general sense of more services, different types of services being available, but also that general greater awareness of mental health, mental wellbeing, distress is something that people should be more open about.
Have counsellors seen an increase in rangatahi reaching out for support?
Right, so just to clarify that, Te Haringa Mahara, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, we're not a provider of services. So we monitor how the system is performing, advocate for improvement, and also we have a leadership role across the system. So what we're seeing across the system is that young people are reaching out for support. So for the Access and Choice program, more than 24,000 young people have accessed the services, which is both the youth-specific stream but also those other types of services. So we are seeing rangatahi young people reaching out for support, but we also know that there are many people who aren't yet able to access the services and supports that that they would benefit from. So what we're wanting to see is the program scale up over the next 2 years so that more people are able to access these services, but also the other services that are available, the other types of services.
Now, the Mental Health Foundation says that these survey results are a massive wake-up call for politicians. What calls do you have for the government to address our mental health crisis?
Yeah, so just talking about the survey results rather than our Access and Choice report. So what I'd just like to focus on is the report, which is we're calling for stronger leadership around workforce. So we're seeing workforce as the most immediate challenge. So the investment in these new frontline services is really positive, but what we want to see is the services being fully available. And so in order to achieve that, we really need to address the challenge around workforce, so having the right types of workforce available to provide the services in the right sorts of ways. So we're calling for a plan, a workforce plan, and sustained leadership. It's not a quick fix. There's some immediate things that can be taken in terms of growing, particularly the peer and lived experience workforce and the cultural workforce, which is what people tell us really makes a difference in terms of support. So we're calling for that. And we're also calling for more information about the availability of services and a greater range of options to be available to people as early as possible. We also need to address the factors that contribute to wellbeing, and in particular to involve young people in the solutions. So young people being part of the process, having a voice and contributing to the future. And look, we also know from a service perspective that when services are co-designed with the people who are using those services, in particular for young people, then they're more likely to be meeting the needs of the people using the services. So still calling for people with lived experience to be involved in the design of the services that will be available to support them. So just on closing, the Access and Choice Program report that we've released today is showing that there is good progress with the implementation of this program. There is a stretch over the next 2 years to get to the full level of services being provided, and one of those biggest challenges to that is the availability of workforce. So we are wanting to see more effort and focus, leadership brought to looking at how we have the workforce we need in order to provide the services.
That was Karen Osborne, the Chief Executive of Te Haringa Mahara, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, speaking about the Access and Choice Program report and the challenges for the primary care and mental health and addiction sectors in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.